did you see their relationship and their actions during the Nazi occupation of Paris? There seemed to be, you know, some, what would we say, ambivalences there.
Yes, he has been criticised for example, putting on plays at all in Paris during the Nazi occupation. Some intellectuals just stopped writing, or at least they just didn't publish anything during that period, because, of course, everything that was put on the Paris stage or everything that was published went through German Nazi censorship. But the other side of that argument is that the plays he put on, most notably the play called The Flies and the play called No Exit, were really cries of freedom. They were telling the French underneath the surface, because they couldn't say it too overtly, they were telling the French to rise up against Nazi occupation, that we should use our freedom to revolt, to rebel, to not submit to these oppressors. And people say that going to the theatre to see those plays by Sartre during the occupation, a breeze seemed to, fly through the theatre. It was refreshing.
Now, Simone de Beauvoir, interestingly, used a lot of these relationships in her work, in her literary work, and sometimes sort of dedicating books to people as a way to come clean to them about maybe having an affair with their husband. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, it is true that her first novel, She Came to Stay, was based on the trio that she and Sartre formed with a younger woman called Olga Kosakovich, who had been a student of Simone de Beauvoir's. And the characters are very, very obviously, you know, Sartre and Beauvoir, and this character, Olga, who's called Xavier in the novel. She dedicated the book to her, and at the end, the Beauvoir figure murders the Olga figure. So it was a kind of funny thing to do, wasn't it, to both dedicate the book to her so that the whole world wondered what her connection was, or they didn't wonder, they knew, and then you murder her in the end. And, of course, Nelson Algren, the Chicago lover, which was a blazing affair. He was a very handsome man, and I think it was probably Simone de Beauvoir's most passionate affair. With him came America, an America that she briefly loved after the war, you know. It was before the McCarthy period, and it was America in jazz and American literature and some pretty exciting things. So Nelson Algren sort of came with those things. But she wrote about him. She wrote about him in her memoirs. She wrote about him in America Day by Day. She wrote about him in her novel The Mandarins. And in the end, the man was furious with her.
But what about everybody giving him her books to review, of course, after that, and him writing terrible reviews for the rest of his life, I suppose?
Yes, well,
of
you
her
know.
Books. I mean,
frankly, that says something about the LA Times.
Absolutely.
That they were willing to give Nelson Algren her latest book, Old Age, to review. Why would Nelson Algren review Old Age? And naturally, he wrote an incredibly sarcastic, mean review. But that sheds very bad light on the LA Times, if you ask me.
No, I agree with you. How does this whole story translate outside French culture? Because, of course, you know, the culture of relationships and sexuality and affairs and all of this is different, isn't it, in France than it is in Puritan America?
Yes, no, there was a very interesting article in Le Monde, actually, defending my book. And I was very proud of that because I thought that I would have trouble, really, with the French. I mean, I'm an Anglo stepping in, uncovering things about their two big icons. The French don't generally like that. But there was an article in Le Monde a couple of weeks ago which defended the book and said how good it was and said, isn't it interesting that in the US there's been this amazing puritanical reaction to this book? And the reviewer pointed out that I have, you know, a PhD on existing, which was about Simone de Beauvoir, that I interviewed her, that I wrote a thesis about her, that I have credentials, that I'd done an enormous amount of interviewing, and that the book is very balanced and very fair, and that they don't understand in France why there is this kind of bonfire and stomping around it and ranting about their terrible behaviour, which it's true, puritanical America is quite busy doing.
So now that you know all of this stuff that you didn't know when you were a younger woman in the 70s and wanting to make a life based on this, the theory of these relationships, I mean, you said before when we started that you still hold them up in your mind as icons, really. I mean, tell me why you're not disappointed with them.
Well, the disappointment came really when Simone de Beauvoir's letters were published after her death, and we did find out that she'd lied to people, and that they had both lied to people, and that she, to some extent, had lied to us, readers, as well as her lovers. And that was the disappointment. But working on them 20 years later, as a middle-aged woman, as I now am, and feeling much more detached, I was prepared to find out what I would find and not cover anything up. I warmed to them again immensely. I think there is, you may agree, a tenderness in my book and admiration underneath the surface, which is actually why I'm a bit dismayed by the sort of puritanical rant stuff. There are certainly reasons for us to be disappointed in their lies. But the lies, you know, frankly, were fairly harmless. And if the women were stupid enough to believe Sartre after a certain time, then they were getting what they deserved. I mean, he was such a blatantly obvious liar, in my opinion. No, what I admire is that they were public intellectuals, really very brave during the Algerian War, you know. Their lives were briefly in danger. And now when I look at the world today, I think we need nothing more than intellectuals who speak out. They were generous. Their cult of friendship and loyalty was something I admire very much. They looked after their friends and had lifelong friends, travelled with them, helped them with their books in a way that I very much admire. I love their warmth, their conversation. I love the fact that Beauvoir in particular, well, both of them, but Beauvoir was tremendously interested in the world. She was nothing of a narcissist, even if she wrote memoirs galore. It was full of curiosity for the world, other people, how they worked. And by the way, one last thing, even Sartre, if he had this great obsession to seduce women, somewhere he said, and I believe him, it wasn't really the sex that interested him. He wanted to get to know these women. And quite often he wanted to get to know a country like Russia through getting to know a woman. And you had to undress them to sort of have that intimacy and get those barriers over with. And then you had a real relationship. And I know what he means, and I respect that.
Hazel Rowley, and Tête-à-Tête, The Lives and Loves of Simone de Beauvoir and Jean-Paul Sartre, is published by Chatto & Windus. And that's Books and Writing for this week, produced by me, Ramona Koval, and Amanda Smith. And thanks to Amanda Smith for her work over the last 3 months.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs broadcast on more than 260 transmitters, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Live streaming on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.